Good morning, friends. Grace and peace and love from our home to yours. Welcome to worship with Pine Street Church on this November 8, 2020. Today, we take our second step into our fall stewardship series that we have called New Horizons 2021. Church sure looks a lot different in these days in terms of the way we meet and gather and do ministry together. And so New Horizons is a way for us to signal that we are adapting to a new time. We are expanding our spiritual horizons and looking for new ways, fresh ways to be the church in this new era. So I invite you, and part of what that means for all of us is to be thinking about our giving plans, our financial giving plans for 2021. We have so much opportunity, and we can only do that because of the generosity of our members and friends. So whether you've been a member for 50 years or whether you've just connected with Pine Street Church during this global health pandemic and have joined us through this YouTube worship on Sundays, I invite you to just think about, reflect a little bit about what Pine Street Church means to you and your own faith formation in terms of the way you feel connected and inspired in your own lives these days. And seriously consider a financial commitment to Pine Street Church for 2021. I often say these commitments are spiritual commitments. You know, it's one thing to say the church doesn't need your money, you have a spiritual need to give, and that is true. On the other hand, we also we need the generosity and the funding to help all of our missions and our ministries go forward and thrive into the future. That includes staffing, that includes certainly taking care of our buildings and grounds, it includes being able to fulfill our commitments to our local community partners, to our global mission partners. It's all-encompassing. And so I invite you to make, think about, pray about, and make a financial commitment to God through Pine Street Church for 2021. I thank you in advance. Next Sunday, November 15, right now we are planning on our Commitment Sunday being another outdoor gathering, socially distanced, all of the safety protocols in place to meet at the home of Stuart and Adderley Lord. Stuart is the moderator of our leadership council. And so weather pending, we'll make that decision early in the week and let you know. But right now, that's what we're planning on. Plans are subject to change, certainly with Colorado weather. But if you feel comfortable joining us, that will be another great celebration, a lot like what we had back in September. So be thinking about that next Sunday at 10 a.m. at the home of Stuart and Adderley Lord. Again, pay attention to your Pine Street Post and communications this week from the church about that date. Well, we are so excited about other ways that you can connect with our church. We have Sunday morning art brunch with Waverly Matthews at 9:30 a.m. We have Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. our Men's Coffee Fellowship. Thursdays at 1:30 p.m., the Oasis Women's Study Group meet. They're reading the book, So You Want to Talk About Race Right Now. And then on Thursday evenings, a short-term small group at 7 p.m., Exploring Sacred Movement with Debbie Setlock. Those are nice little side doors into the life of the church to stay connected to God and to one another. We also have this great new podcast. It's called Hyphenated Life. It is powered by Pine Street Church. It's part of our new digital ministry together. We just had a conversation this past week on Thursday with the Reverend Susan Springer. Susan is an Episcopal priest and an author and speaker at St. John's Episcopal Church down the street. We talked with her this past week about yoga and Christianity. So check it out. You can check it out at hyphenatedlife.org. That's the website. Please follow us on Facebook at Hyphenated Life. And then you can find us on all the podcast channels you can imagine, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music. And please share it with your friends too. And that goes for anything we do in social media spaces of church as well. If you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, follow Pine Street Church, follow Hyphenated Life, and like the posts and share them with your friends. It is one of the easiest things you can do to share the good news about Pine Street Church, about Hyphenated Life, and all that's going on with our spiritual community. We'll be talking in the coming weeks about more specific ways for you to do that, but I'm asking you to be involved on social media channels for our church and for our new podcast. And share the love. Sharing is caring, I hear from my two kids all the time. So thank you for being willing to do that. Today, again, we take our next step with New Horizons in this fall stewardship series. We'll be taking a look at the widow story in the Gospel of Mark, two copper coins. And we'll be talking a little bit about what generosity means. What a week it has been for each of us and all of us with so much uncertainty in the air. So I invite you to stick around for the message a little bit later on. Let us begin our worship together today with this prayer of invocation inspired by Maya Angelou in this book, The Complete Poetry of Maya Angelou. We're going to be using Maya Angelou's poetry in our upcoming Advent series that starts at the end of the month and leading up to Christmas. So let us begin today with this prayer.
Prayer by Maya Angelou. Father, Mother, God, thank you for your presence during the hard and mean days, for then we have you to lean upon. Thank you for your presence during the bright and sunny days, for then we can share that which we have with those who have less. And thank you for your presence during the holy days, for then we are able to celebrate you and our families and our friends. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who feel unworthy, we ask you to pour your love out in waterfalls of tenderness. For those who live in pain, we ask you to bathe them in the river of your healing. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them company. For those who are depressed, we ask you to shower upon them the light of hope. Dear Creator, you, the borderless sea of substance, we ask you to give all the world that which we need most. Peace. Amen.
We are in the midst of this fall stewardship emphasis season that we call New Horizons. And so some of those themes will weave in and out of some of the things I just want to say to you today and next week. And some of the things I said last week. And if you haven't been able to have a chance to listen to last week's message, I hope you will, because a lot of this pivots off of who we have been as a church and some of the saints in our lives who can continue to be the balcony people in our lives, the ones who cheer us on from heaven, the people who have invested in this community for so long, who cheer us on and inspire us to continue to be the people that we're called to be. More than once over my 3.5 years as your pastor, I have quoted a novelist and a short story writer named Gail Godwin, who once defined vocation. I mean, you might think of occupation, right? Like what do you do, right, professionally? But vocation is what you're called to be and do in the world, no matter what you do professionally. And maybe that the vocation and the occupation are the same things in your life. But that the Gail Godwin novelist said, something that keeps making more of you is what your vocation is. That's how she defines vocation, like what you're called to be. Something that keeps making more of you. And I would say that keeps making more of the best of who you are. What is that? What is that passion that drives you, that impacts other people in ways that you may know and that you don't know? Well, when you think about that quote, something that keeps making more of you, I think about generosity, because generosity is like that too. When we experience generosity, whether in giving or receiving, It is always the experience of an excess of life, a surplus of energy, with plenty left over for others. In other words, generosity is generative. It generates energy and life and power, and it keeps making more of the best of who we are. More passion, more compassion, more gentleness, more peacefulness, more hopefulness, more joy. I've learned that one of the classic stages of the hero's journey is this experience of abundance. The classic idea of a hero or a heroine who is someone who is a generative person, someone who is thinking about the next generation, right? And not just thinking about himself or herself. And that is to say that a true hero is not about being bold, muscular, rich, famous, talented, fantastic by himself or for herself. But a true hero serves the common good. And of all weeks, of all years, don't we need to really be thinking about the common good, right? Whether it's for our church, certainly this week for our nation. And so if you and I could sit down today and have a coffee conversation, I would probably ask you, who are the generosity heroes in your own life? Who is a person in your life that seems to create that surplus of energy, the person that when you're with them, you just sort of get that gut level feeling that something is happening that is making more of the best of you? More passion, more joy, more love, more acceptance, more blessing. And today's gospel story of the widow, the wisdom of two coins, right, is probably one of my generosity heroes in the New Testament, certainly in the Gospels, the poor widow in Mark's Gospel today. And apparently Jesus, and I'm using my spiritual imagination here, but Jesus walks into worship, right, about the time they're receiving the tithes and offerings. And he sits down and he stares at the people as they give. Maybe kind of awkward if you notice Jesus noticing you. And I guess his mother did not, you know, teach him that it was not polite to stare, but he noticed something interesting. Rich people, people with means, people with wealth, people who had been quote-unquote blessed, as many Christians might say today, they were putting in large sums of money into the temple treasury, okay? But a poor widow walks up and she puts in two copper coins worth about a penny. And she gave not even her 2 cents worth, but Jesus says she put in more than anybody else who contributed to the offering that day. And how was that even possible? I mean, I hope that you watched the video liturgy about this story from the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus explains, he says to the disciples, he calls them over and gives them a teaching moment. He says, you see all those folks counting out the $100 bills in their money clip? They're giving out of their abundance. I mean, they've got plenty more where that came from. But do you see the poor lady? Nobody knows it, but she just put in everything that she had, all that she had to live on. And just briefly and quickly and rather simplistically, you could say that that woman's small change made a big change, at least in the eyes of Jesus. So if you ever think that, oh, I don't have enough to give, and it just doesn't have to mean financially, but what you have to give to your relationships, to your family, to the world, it's probably more than you think. Almost every week I have a benediction that says, don't sell yourself short. To risk something big for something good. I think that applies in this situation. Because, again, this poor woman, she just put in everything that she had, all that she had to live on. She wasn't going to be able to pay rent or buy groceries with what she put in to the temple treasury, but she put the small change in anyway, knowing that she was a dependent person. She lived close to the quick of the mercy of God. She depended on God for her every need. And whether or not we realize it, so do we. I mean, when physical challenge comes to us, when we are confronted with our own mortality, when we think, oh my God, if I'm diagnosed with this or that, I might die. There's a sense in which all of us, not to live in fear, but to live in a sense of reality and honesty, that every moment, every breath we have in life is a gift. It is a gift. And a poor widow who gives a little in equal, or who is an equal in Jesus' eyes, is equal to the rich who give a lot. And her humble worship, probably her sense of her own mortality, that life is fleeting, that it's a vapor, to reference the words of Proverbs in the Hebrew Bible, our life is given. Every moment is given. And that's what Jesus seems to say here about his observation about this humble woman who gives all she has to that temple treasury. And you might say, what does this matter? Why are you mentioning this? Why are we devoting, for example, today, this week, last week, next week, much of November, right, to pray about and think about financial stewardship? This is a natural time of the year to focus on making financial commitments to God through Pine Street Church by asking the question, you know, if every moment is a given moment, what sort of legacy do I want to leave in the world? And I talked about that quite a lot last week with the saints of Pine Street Church I mentioned, with Karen Hadley Dyke, with Milton Huffaker, with Leo Hill. These folks who have shown us the way over time about what it means to really invest in a community. And for you and me, and I don't mean to be preachy, even though I guess I am a preacher, right? But given the rich blessings of my life, given the life I have right now, what is the best way that I can respond as a follower of Jesus? And what do I care about? What are my priorities? Someone has said that, you know, your financial plan, your financial budget in your family is a moral document. Because in some ways, in a lot of ways, it says what we care about. So if you want to know where your priorities lie, you know, you can look at your family budget. Look at your financial documents in your life and say, wow, this really tells me a lot about who I am, right? So this month, the few weeks out of the year where we give to, oh my gosh, that preacher's talking about money again, all the church wants is money from me. Those are stereotypes we need to blast, right? Because there's something deeper to that than what might just be the optics on the surface. And just a few weeks out of the year, we give a little bit of time to thinking about, you know, what matters to us. What matters to us in our lives? We've been talking about that throughout the pandemic. What do I care about? What are the relationships that are important to me? What are the organizations in my life that are important to me, that are making a difference in the world? And so this is part of that time of the year where we just sort of enter that conversation as a church. And to really be thinking about if what we share together as a community is important and impactful, what is my response? What is your response to making sure that continues and that happens? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this time of the year, thinking about what portion of our income we want to give to what we care about. Backing up what we say our priorities are and backing that up with our financial funding. We didn't read this today as part of the scripture, but there's this wonderful story in 2 Corinthians 9 in the New Testament where we find Paul, who is fresh off basically directing a stewardship campaign for the Jerusalem church. And Paul says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, like nobody's forcing you to do this, right? Paul didn't say anything about peer pressure when it comes to being generous, but perhaps being generous motivates other people to be generous too. Think about those generosity heroes in your life, right? And thereby, it is almost a positive peer pressure. To give what you have made up your mind to give, St. Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 9. And this is not, you know, like one of those old school 24-hour marathons where people are raising money for a certain cause. It's rather the quiet way we watch and see others give their lives to the work of God through the mission, say, of the church. Of a church like Pine Street Church, teaching small groups, leading fellowship groups. These days, Zoom, right? Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. That's the way we connect with one another. Thinking about those small groups where we stay connected to one another and with God. Could be the podcast these days too, right? And we think about all of these ways. You know, you could be hammering nails for Habitat for Humanity, which our church has supported historically. Serving on ministry teams and committees, volunteering time to make sure that, you know, what our priorities are as a church is giving to organizations locally like Attention Homes, like to Out Boulder, right? Or giving nationally to groups like BJC or to Baptist News Global, or giving globally to our mission partners. So all of these things are part of who we are. And when you give to Pine Street Church, there's this huge ripple effect. And it ripples out not just for our own church, which it does, but also for those local organizational communities that we're part of nationally, globally. It's almost like that cliche, like think locally, act globally. Pine Street Church is a church that does all of that, right? And we do that. So Paul's theology, St. Paul's theology of stewardship is more anonymous, a matter decided in the heart of a person, sometimes seen only by God, just like Jesus sees the poor widow in today's gospel. Now, there are a few anonymous stories that don't get told to our whole church. For better and for worse, we don't know all of the stories, all of the lives that are being impacted by us being who we are as a spiritual community. You have no idea. I don't even have the fullest idea about how people's lives are impacted by our ministry together. But today, there's one that I do want you to hear about. It's a family who has more deeply connected with our church through this pandemic. And so I am really inspired by them and their family story. And I want you to hear about it today. If I could take a video every week of ways that you are impacted by Pine Street Church, I'd probably have more videos than we could ever show. And if you do have a story, hey, write me, Andrew@pinestreetchurch.net. But today, in this moment, I want you to hear about Chris and Jennifer Douglas. Because this is what happens when we keep being who we are as a church. We keep, again, in the words of Gail Godwin, we keep making more of us. More of the goodness. More of the generosity. We keep making more of us as a church. And this is why making a plan for 2021 is so important. So hear from Chris and Jennifer Douglas about your impact on their lives as we think about our continued ministry together and think about 2021. Here's Chris and Jennifer.
Hi, everyone. Hello from the Douglas House. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Chris.
And Andrew asked if we would send a little video about how we've been connecting with Pine Street during this strangest of times. So this has actually been one of the gems of this time for our family, because we had just started to visit Pine Street before all this happened, but it schedule-wise was sometimes challenging for us to find a time that we could come together as a family, and then all of our conflicts went away and we could be part of worship from a remote way, and we could do it in our pajamas at whatever time our teenagers rolled out of bed. So being able to access it in that way has been a nice thing for us to worship together as a family. The music is something we'd always appreciated, and the way that the music team has been so creative is really something that our entire family has connected with.
We want more.
So we are very grateful to be part of your community in this new and different way.
So one of the other areas that we didn't really realize that we were hungering for was until we started sitting down and partaking in the racial inequity series, and we really felt some connection to the Pine Street community through that. We're incredibly impressed with everything we've learned from everybody in all of those phone calls, and it's really helped us grow and make us realize what we can do better as individuals, and taking those small steps, because it's just such a huge, massive undertaking that seems overwhelming at times. So it's been very supportive and very helpful from the Pine Street community for those items.
And doing that within a community of faith has been very meaningful to us.
Absolutely. And so it's been a challenging and hard times on so many fronts, and it's been a great breath of fresh air to participate in the Pine Street community. So thank you all very much. We're happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to continuing. Take care. Bless you.
Bless you. Bye.
Thank you, Chris and Jennifer. Your story is beautiful. Your family is beautiful. And I'm so grateful that Chris and Jennifer shared their story with us. And oh my goodness, high of my week. My friends, it's been a hard week. It's been a hard 8 months. And we are learning new ways to be church, to embrace new horizons, to embrace that church as we have known it will never be the same after this. And I hope that you read what I wrote, what I wrote to you on Election Day this past week, the day after Election Day this past week. And here's part of what I wrote. Rather than pin our hopes on political outcomes, to follow God in the way of Jesus, or to say what our faith teaches us, is that there is something deeper than taking sides either or left, right, secular, sacred, this, that. Part of what our new Hyphenated Life podcast is trying to blast these boundaries about. Or, you know, identifying with tribes as if, you know, politics is about being a fan of CU or Nebraska or the Broncos and the Raiders. I mean, it's not about tribalism. It's not about temporal and certainly privileged American identities. We're living in a climate right now of division and mistrust. And what our faith teaches us today is that we do well to trust in the God who takes delight in unity amidst diversity. That this is a moment for we, the people of God, to model that unity amidst diversity. And we can do that. We can do that by keeping our eyes on the fact that our spiritual allegiances transcend political alliances. To keep our eyes on the fact that who we are as human beings, who we are as families, who we are as a community of God, who we are as a church, transcends whatever might come our way culturally, politically, socially. And to do that, being inspired by the courage of Christ. To be inspired by the courage of Jesus, who shows us the way to model what it means to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? And so, part of what I want to just say this week, this year, and in this moment, as a church, do you and can you feel how important this moment is in our world, socially, culturally, politically, spiritually? And to take all of your memories and all of what makes you care about Pine Street Church or First Baptist Church of Boulder, Colorado, until several years ago, right? And to imagine for this moment how crucial it is for a church like ours, and how important it is right now for a church like Pine Street Church to have a witness in the world, and to push that far into the future, not just 2021, which is right in front of our faces, but for 2031 and 2041 and 2051 and. What will your legacy be? When we think about confronting our mortality, confronting about what do we want our legacies to be, right? What is it about this community that makes you care? I'll close today on the heels of, yes, a presidential election that has us as a nation divided by political fractures and racial ruptures more in our faces than ever before. Here's the connection with generosity: that our 2021 financial plan to keep being who we are as a church so needed, again, at a social and political and spiritual moment in our culture that is like this. I don't care who you voted for. I mean, well, I have my own personal opinions about that. But we as a church, we're bigger than that. And so I ran across through my colleague from Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York City this week, who was struggling through what to say this week in a sermon after this past week that we have all experienced. There is a beautiful poem that I just want to share a few of those stanzas with you, and it goes like this. You don't have to tell me how you're going to vote. I can feel the mandate pour from your heart when you are asked to pray for the sick. I can smell your ideology by whether or not you bathe yourself in the tears of your enemies. You don't need to tell me how you're going to vote like it is some sort of dirty secret. It's written all over you. Your entire life has been an election. Everybody you encounter is a polling station. You are casting your vote with every single breath you take. Every day is election day. There are no political parties. There are only endless opportunities to turn our lives into a roaring fountain of compassion. Every vote we cast should smell like a mixture of rose water and empathy. Oh, my love, don't tell me how you vote. Show me by how you recklessly love everyone. 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 Embrace everyone. I know that's hard to do, and we can come up with a million contingencies about that. I do understand. Yes. Pine Street Church is more relevant and more needed than ever before in our almost 150 years of existence as a community. So what do you say? What can you give to make the legacy of Pine Street Church keep going? To keep making more of the best of who we have been historically, who we are right now, and who we're going to be for 2021 and 2031 and 41 and 51, what legacy do you want to be part of? I want to be part of this legacy. As a pastor, yes, of course. And as a parent. As a parent, to be able to model to my children the kind of spiritual community that makes Pine Street Church relevant right now and into the future. And my friends, that means imagining new horizons. It's taking the best of who we have been and not being limited by that. That our memories of the past cannot outshine our vision for the future. Will you join me? Will you? What do you say? What can you give to make this legacy keep on going? I would just say, let's do this. Let's keep making more of the best of who we are as a church. You keep making more of the best of who you are as a human being, in your family, in your friendships, and in the causes that you care about. And let's get excited about these new horizons, because Christ calls us. And I think we can feel it. And the world needs it more than ever. Your family, you, all of us, let's join together and do this. Let's give to this vision with our whole hearts, all of our hearts and mind and strength. And I don't know about you, but I see new horizons in front of us that makes a call to all of us. new horizons. Let's embrace it. And let's live into this future together. Let's embrace this uncertainty with hope so that we can embrace everyone and inspire life and create more. To the glory of God. Amen. Thank you, friends, for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition today. As you go out into this day and into this week, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. and the love and the peace and the joy and the justice and the generosity and the beauty of God are at loose in the world through you. Go now and live like it is true. Amen.
God who's giving knows no ending, from your rich and endless store. Nature's wonder, Jesus' wisdom, costly cross, grave's shattered door. Gifted by you, eternal to you, offering up ourselves in praise. Thankful song shall rise forever, gracious donor of our days. Skills and time are ours for pressing toward the goals of Christ your Son. All at peace in health and is joined, the church made one. Now direct our daily labor, lest we strive for self alone. Born with talents, make us servants, fit to answer at your throne. Treasure to by love.